Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Scripture reads, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And we believe that'd be all the Lord have us to read in our in your hearing this morning. We pray that God richly add his blessing to the read of his word. We preached last week, condemnation to conversion to conviction. That was our text last week. And this week, I believe the Lord wants us to preach on who we are. Amen. So after we've been condemned and condemnation has drawn us to the conversion, which is Calvary, and once we've moved past Calvary and we live out our lives, you know, the Bible, I don't know if I said this last week or not, but the Bible said, listen, to work out your own salvation in fear and in trembling. Amen. And there's a lot of people, they take that verse and they solely apply that to the day that you were saved. But that verse don't only just apply to the day, the moment in time that you are saved, but salvation is a constant work. Preacher, you saying that you have to work to be saved? No, I'm not saying that. But conviction in our lives change our lives, and therefore our work in our life is an ongoing process. Amen. It's called the process of sanctification. Amen. And when the process of sanctification is complete, glorification comes. Amen. What is that? That's when we see Jesus face to face. Amen. And these are things that we have to go through in our lives. And that's why he said, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Amen. Because this is something, because we are saved, we need to work this thing out on a daily basis. Amen. And work includes labor. And labor includes dedication. And dedication includes sweat and tears and agony. Amen. Listen, and that's why we study, the word says, and 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. There's a lot of people, they like to study to make themselves prevalent among their peers and among men. But the Word of God said, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible said, all Scripture, listen, is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. Listen, there's a lot of people struggling with a lot of things. I understand this. But if we as Christians today, if we would get into God's precious word, amen, the manifestation of his glory would open our eyes and we would be able to see him for who he really is. But I want to talk about this morning who we are. Amen. And I'm glad that I am in him and that he is in me. Amen. So listen, as we look right here, and so once we see that we're condemned by the law, what does the law bring? The law brings sin. When sin is presented to us, the only thing and the way of escape that we can see is through Calvary. And when we approach the blood of Calvary by faith through grace, then we are saved. And I'm going to get to this just over here in verse number 24 and 25. And I know that we're jumping ahead. I just want to say this in the outstart. Listen, if we read verse 24, the Bible says, "For you are saved by hope." Amen. There's a lot of people, there's a difference, and I want you to understand this in the outstart of this message. Listen, we don't go around in life hoping that we are saved. Amen. We are saved because of our hope. Amen. Listen, there is a difference in somebody's life. There's a lot of people, they say, "Well, I hope, preacher, I hope I'm saved." Listen, what it evolves to is, I know I'm saved, and that is my hope. Yeah. Amen. Listen, because being saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, is not a think-so. It's a know-so salvation. Amen? Listen, my pastor for a long time, Brother Cecil Reeves, he said, there's a lot of people going to miss heaven by 16 inches. Amen? Because there's a lot of people think that they're saved, but they don't know if they've been saved. Amen? And people need to hear the truth. Don't you agree? Now listen, we're going back right up here, and we're going to get into this. And if God be our helper, and listen, we just want to do exactly what God wants us to do this morning. Amen. Listen, in verse number 9 it says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Now, listen, I want to talk to you about something for just a minute here. Listen, there's a lot of people when they talk about the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God, listen, we call it an it. Amen. Do you like to be called an it, Tommy? No, I'm not an it. You're not an it because you have breath. Amen. Listen, the Spirit of God is not an it. It's him. Amen. It is the third person of the Godhead. Amen. Listen, we have the first, the second, the third, the Trinity of God. What each one of them represent different things of one individual. Amen. Him. The Lord our God, the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. Now we have God. The first person of the Godhead. Who is God? What does he describe? God is the one who took Moses, carried him up to Mount Sinai, took his finger, wrote on the tablets of stone, gave him the law. What did God bring? God brought the law. What did the law bring? Law then revealed sin. Amen. And in the revelation of sin, man seen his inability to live to the righteous commandment of God's law, and because of man's inability to see the righteousness of God's law, that's why man then went back to God and said, "We cannot attain to the righteousness." And he said, "Listen, that's where we tie everything back into Revelation chapter number 5. We jump over there just briefly. And John said, "I seen him that sat upon the throne. He had in his hand a book sealed within with on the backside sealed with 7 seals." And I know I've preached on this before, but this is where this ties in. Amen. Now man has cried for a redeemer. Amen. So he takes John the Revelator, he takes him to Revelation chapter 5, and he says, "I want to show you what happened." Amen. So we see that he said, "I, John, looked," and he said that heaven was searched, the earth was searched. Beneath the earth was searched. There was none found worthy to open the book, neither to loose the 7 seals thereof, John said. And I began to weep much because there was none found worthy. He said, "Behold, a great angel laid his right hand upon me and said, 'John, weep not, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals therein.'" And John said, "And I looked into the midst of the throne and the 4 beasts and the 24 elders, and I seen a lamb as it had been slain before the foundation of the world." Amen. So what did he see? Amen. Listen, God knew in all of his vast foreknowledge that man would sin in the garden. He knew that man could not live, and that he was his inabilities to live to the righteousness of the law of God. So in doing so, he knew that there was none worthy. So he himself, who is the second person, it's the incarnate of God. Listen, it is God in the flesh. Amen. Listen, in Luke chapter 2, they said, what's his name? They called his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Amen. So now, we see all things come together. Ain't you glad in 1 John chapter 4, when the scripture said, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. You see, he loved us. And I want to speak to church folks today. Amen. And you may or may not have heard me say this, but listen, there's a lot of people, they think, well, preacher, I've got to live a better life before I can get saved. Listen, I've sat with them in the hospitals as they are fading away, drawing their last breath. I've had them tell me, preacher, I've done too much and I've gone too far to be saved. I've sat with them in the hospitals. I've seen them testify of it in church. Listen, and I want to say it again here today, here this morning, amen. Now, the gospel, amen, if we believe the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, listen, we are constantly going to give people hope. Amen. Listen to me. The gospel is not a place of no hope. Amen. Listen, it tears my heart out to hear people say, well, preacher, I've gone too far and I've done too much. Let me tell you, the Bible said in Acts, he said, for in him we live and move and have our being. Amen. So if you believe that passage of Scripture, if you're drawing breath, that is the mercy and the grace of God being extended to you that you might have hope in the gospel. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm glad. Listen to me, friends. Listen, the Bible said, and it speak to us. Listen, I'm telling you something. Listen, when Christ died for us, I want you to realize something now. I want everybody to look at me. Listen, I want you to know exactly. Listen, next Sunday we'll celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to know just exactly what part of your life he died for you in. Amen? There's a lot of people, and you've heard me say this. Jesus, when he was on Calvary, he never died for the preacher. Look at me. He never died for the deacon. He never died for the Sunday school teacher. He never died for the lay member. He died for the sinner. Amen. It does not matter if you are a member or affiliated with anything or organization or body. What matters is that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered you in the remission of your sin. Amen. Listen, the thief on the cross. We as Baptists, especially, and there's probably people going to get mad at me, but I don't care. Amen. Listen, I quit caring a long time ago. Listen, we have this long laundry list of rules that we have enforced on the church body that they have to accept, amen, to be a part of us. Amen. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Yeah. Amen. There was a man that hung beside him on the cross the day he was crucified. One railed on him. The other one said, this man has done no thing deserving of this. And he looked to him. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus immediately spoke to him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen. Yeah. Now you can take your stipulations, your legalities, your laws, your ordinances and throw them in the trash. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Tell me it's got to be done. Jesus said, use your head. Amen. Well, preacher, that's the way we've always done it. But I'm going to tell you,
But just, I want to do it like Jesus did it. Amen. Don't you? You better say amen. Now listen, friends, I'm glad today that He loved us. And listen, I want you to understand one thing. If you don't understand anything else I say today, He died for you in your sin. You know that sin in your life? Listen to me. Everybody's got it. That one sin in your life. You know what I'm talking about, Butch? That you don't want nobody else to know about. The one fear that you've got hid way down deep in your soul. You've got it covered with memories. You've got it covered. You tried to blanket it. You've tried to throw it away, and you've tried to cast it aside, and you tried to get rid of it because you don't want anybody else to know about it. Amen. Listen, He didn't die for you in your goodness or in your righteousness. That sin that you're trying to keep hidden, that's what He took to Calvary.
Yeah.
Because He died for you in your most, listen, abominable and lowest and sinful and wretched and unrighteous moment. Listen, if He can die for the worst, He can make us the best.
Yeah.
Amen. Boy, I want people to know how much Jesus loves you. Amen. That's why when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, listen, He wasn't concerned about the scourging. His concern wasn't the scourging. His concern wasn't the ridicule. His concern wasn't being beaten half to death. His concern was not being crucified. His concern, listen to me, friends, this morning. His concern was our sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
There's a lot of people say, well, when Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane, listen, He didn't want to go be crucified and beaten and smitten. No, let me tell you, the fleshly side of Christ, not Christ Himself, the fleshly side of Christ did not want to lose. Listen, He did not want to lose one soul. Amen. His concern wasn't the physical things that he would suffer. His concern were the souls He was carrying to Calvary. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but Thy will be done. You see, Calvary was won in Gethsemane. Amen. You following me? You tracking? You digging what I'm planting? You looking, you listening? Calvary was won in Gethsemane. When the Son committed all things to the Father, there in Gethsemane, He said, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. There was nothing that could change nor alter the direction that Calvary would finish. Amen. Calvary was won in Gethsemane. It was finished on a hill called Golgotha. Amen. Listen, it started in a garden. You hearing me? It all started way back yonder in the Garden of Eden. Listen, the midpoint was Calvary. And I'm glad today, even though it started in a garden, it's going to end in a city. Amen. Listen, it may have started in a garden, and we may have lived all these unrighteous and unlawful and, listen, destitute lives for all these years. But one of these days, we're going to a city, listen, which I have not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has the heart of man been able to comprehend. But He said, I've revealed these things unto you. Spirit, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. Ain't you glad that you're saved today? I'm doing the same thing today I done last week. I ain't even preaching this. I want to get into this right here. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, listen, now I want you to listen to Scripture. It didn't say, but the Spirit of it to the Spirit of Him. Amen. You know, we try and distance salvation. We as Christians, we try and distance who we are and what we are. Amen. But I'm telling you something. We have the Son of God living in us. You see, we don't hope we're saved. We're saved because of our hope. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance. I love this passage of Scripture. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. Bless your heart, Kenny. Listen, I'm glad that my faith, and you've heard me say that, my faith has substance and my faith has evidence. Amen. Listen to me. You know what substance is? When you're hungry and you think about a banana sandwich, listen, you're still hungry. But praise God, when you go eat one, you can taste it, you can smell it, and you know that you've been filled. Substance is what we need in Christianity. We have a lot of people that are living a veinless and pointless Christian life because they've gobbled a bunch of air. But listen, my faith has substance. Not only does it have substance, there's evidence to show. Amen. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Listen to this. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, this is the, the Spirit of God. If it raised Him up to dwell in you, amen. So now the Spirit of God dwells in us. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also your mortal bodies by this Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. You see, we are the inheritors of eternal life. Amen. Listen, I'm not going to receive eternal life. I have already obtained it. Amen. I'm not going to live forever. I am living forever because I've been saved. One of these days they'll throw this old wretched body in the dirt. Amen. And don't you cry over this body because I'm going home. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to preach my last message, pray my last prayer, and I'm going home to rest. Amen. You hear me? I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to rest. I'll not get on that right now. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You see, this is instruction for the saved. You want to live a blessed, holy life, we must mortify the deeds of this body. You've heard me say this, and listen, you hear me say it a lot more times, amen, because I hate them so much. I hate snakes. I do. Rat snakes, green snakes, black snakes, rattlesnakes, copperheads. I don't care what kind of snake it is, it needs to die. Amen. I don't care what they do for the garden. I don't care what they do for the house. Kill them. Amen. Amen. Kill them all. But I'm telling you, now, let me tell you something, friends. Listen, when I go to kill a snake, amen, if I ain't got a gun handy, which is rare, I go for a shovel, and I don't cut his tail off. I don't cut him in half. I cut his head off right behind his neck. Amen. Because I'm telling you something, and listen, not only do I cut his head off, listen, you ask anybody who knows me, amen, the first thing I do when I cut his head off, that old body's sitting there doing this and wrapping around trying to find its head and all that nasty things crawled up on the shovel, amen, kick that thing off, and the first thing I find is his head, and I go down there and I dig a hole and I bury the head, amen, because I'm going to tell you something, if you want to get rid of sin, you first got to cut it off at the head, but then you can't keep